moving right along. Rugby World Cup, I'm sure you enjoyed the great victory against the Wallabies last night. I certainly did. It was a successful weekend for the tournament with two good games of rugby and an electric atmosphere at Eden Park for both of them. Capacity crowd last night for the All Blacks semi-final and near capacity on Saturday night when Wales played France. In Auckland, Queen's Wharf and the waterfront fan zones were very popular over the weekend. We had 58,000 people across Queen's Wharf and Captain Cook on Sunday alone. At the peak, there were 20,000 people across both wharves last night during the All Blacks Wallabies match. I'm advised that the crowds at the fan zone were very well behaved and it was great atmosphere as people cheered on the All Blacks. In terms of ticket sales, I can tell you today that the sales are now just $1 million away from the $268.5 million target. The remaining tickets available are mostly for the bronze match between Wales and Australia. The final between the All Blacks and France is all but a sellout and it's expected to be declared a sellout very shortly. The only remaining tickets are actually tickets that are held aside for teams and unions competing in the final. If they don't take up all of their tickets, they get released to the public later in the week. In terms of my activity, I'm going to Blenheim very, very shortly. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, I'm in Tauranga. On Wednesday, I'm in Christchurch. I'm, amongst other things, going to Chris Doig's funeral. On Thursday, I'm in Auckland. Friday, South Canterbury. And Sunday, I will be at the Grand Final.
Have you had any word from the Australian Prime Minister about your
week? I have. I got a text from her very soon after the final whistle was blown at Eden Park, telling me that she would be honouring her bet as soon as possible.
Did she say when?
No, don't know when, but I'm sure that'll happen soon.
Did she have to do it in a press conference like you?
I hope so. But she'll enjoy that apple. It'll be delicious and crunchy.
Can you provide the apple?
We can provide an apple. We've had a tray of them sent to the High Commission in Canberra, just so that there's an apple available for her if she wishes to uplift that apple.
Do you know what variety?
No, there's a range of possibilities. Gala, maybe Braeburn, but I was delivered some apples in the weekend just to test them out, and I think they were Queens actually. Beautiful apple, anyway.
Since we've pretty much almost now hit the ticket sales revenue target, how long do you think it will be until we've got a sense of the cost side so we can nail down that $39 million?
Yeah, I mean, that will take a little bit of time, but I'm not overly hopeful that the loss will be substantially reduced. I asked those questions if, you know, we went past that target, is it likely to be substantially lower? The indications were that it wouldn't be.
So the correct expectation could probably be that it will go a little bit beyond 39, do you think?
It might actually be on that number, but that's because we sell a little bit more.
So overall, do you think it's been worth it?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think if you take a step back and you say, well, you know, something like the Commonwealth Games, we looked at that and the early indications, I think from memory, were in the order of about $600 or $700 million to host the Commonwealth Games. The Rugby World Cup's a significantly larger event. Yes, the country spent quite a bit of money upgrading its stadium, but they're long-term assets, and I think for the marketing of New Zealand, the promotion of New Zealand, it's been well and truly worth it, and I think New Zealanders have thoroughly enjoyed it. At the end of the day, you know, I'd say it's $39 million well spent. Yeah, just reading some of those sort of economic reports about the implications of the Cup, they're very mixed. They sort of indicate that some spending had been done up front, more is likely to be in cash. There's a variety of different reasons, not exactly sure, but what is absolutely true is that there has been some displacement. So some normal business activity that would have taken place hasn't taken place because local travellers have just said, well, I'm not going to go because I think the cost of accommodation, for instance, will be too high. But I mean, look, overall, it'll still net on net be positive for most businesses.
And you talk about the international media coverage around the tournament. You must have been disappointed, though, at the big headlines, you know, lead stories on the BBC website and the like about the arena. I mean, do you think that's taken the shine off?
I don't think so, no. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the arena being marooned on that reef would always be a big international story, and that's suffice to say how difficult it is to actually fix this problem is testimony to the fact it doesn't happen very often. So it would always be a big international story. But equally, I think, you know, most people are very confident that we can do a good job of cleaning up the environmental damage. I mean, we regret that that's there. But yeah, as you saw through your own television sets last night, I mean, the beaches were, for the most part, absolutely clear. So you know, I think that's not to underestimate the environmental damage. It just means that we've got an effective team working on it. So, I mean, most countries, you know, and most people who look at that would understand it. But from time to time, there are problems with boats. And, I mean, at the end of the day, we have 3,000, I think, odd ship movements a year. 98% of our goods come through coastal shipping and through offshore shipping, and we're just not going to change that. It's not practical for a country like New Zealand.
Prime Minister, in the last term of Parliament before you became Prime Minister, you made several speeches to talk a lot about the underclass.
Yep.
Do you believe it's gotten bigger or smaller during this term?
Look, I think it depends on how you measure that. You know, what we know about recessions is they disproportionately affect low-income people and younger people. And that's for a variety of economic reasons, but it's primarily because often a household that might be supported by overtime and the likes might lose that overtime. One person might lose their job. There's a variety of different reasons. So that can have some impact. And you know, in recent weeks, I've visited a number of budgeting agencies and food banks, and I've asked them about, you know, what they've seen over the last 3 years, and I think it's fair to say they've seen an increase in people accessing their services. So that situation is there. I think in terms of the wider issue of addressing an underclass in New Zealand, I think that can only ultimately be addressed through a couple of factors. One is trying to lift people out of poverty, and a lot of those homes are welfare-based homes. I think if we are in the position to have a second term, then welfare reform will help that. Secondly, through good education. And I think the third thing I'd just simply say is if you look at the deficit numbers that were produced last week and have been over the last term we've been in office, yes, half the deficit was for Christchurch, but you have to acknowledge, and we have to acknowledge, that we actually used the Crown balance sheet to take the rough edges off the recession for people. We supported Working for Families, we didn't cut benefits, we didn't cut entitlements for people. And so I actually think in that regard we did the best we could do in the conditions that we have to insulate people.
So you didn't cut some things, but what policies would you point to specifically that might have been targeting and assisting the people, the underclass?
Yeah, I think there's a whole range. I mean, national standards as a starting point is ultimately the tool that we want to use to ensure that we can map the progress of the child as they go through school. We substantially increased early childhood education, for instance, and particularly targeted Pacifica Māori as an access point where we know there's lower levels of participation. You know, I think there are a number of the employment schemes that we ran that would have, you know, again, would have helped. You know, there's a variety of different things we did. I mean, even at one level, we threw, you know, more money and more law changes around victims' rights, all of those kinds of things. Again, sometimes we see low-income families disproportionately being affected by crime. So there's a variety of different things that we've done. We've increased the immunisation rates in health substantially for under twos. We've targeted things like rheumatic fever. So I think, you know, across the board we've done a range of things, but it's a long, slow job and there's a lot more to be done.
So you accept then that it's nothing that can be turned around, it's a generational issue, is it?
I don't accept there's nothing can be done, but I think it does take a long time to make those changes. Okay, thanks very much. Nice afternoon.